can you blame them for wanting to come to the best country on the face of the planet? Right. If I was in their situation dealing with some of the things that they deal with and, you know, the countries down South America and others, man, I would want to come here too. So I don't blame them in a sense, but that doesn't mean that what they're doing is right.
I am yours, I am yours, I am yours, send me, Lord. I am yours, I am yours, I am yours.
Welcome to the Gospel Center Pro-Life Podcast, a podcast designed to equip, encourage, and challenge you in pro-life ministry, and always with a focus on the gospel. Stay tuned.
I felt your passion, touched your heart.
Welcome back to the Gospel-Centered Pro-Life Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining us. My name is Daniel Parks. I serve as the Executive Director of Love Life, and I'm joined with Vicky Cassiorg. Introduce yourself real quick, Vicky.
Hey, everybody. I am the National Training Director of Love Life and locally here on the sidewalk in Charlotte.
Yes.
For the past 13, 14 years, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say combined we have almost 30 years of experience with sidewalk ministry. Yeah.
Been involved in sidewalk ministry for a long time. We should be perfect.
Yeah, we're not, but we should be.
We're not.
You know, we're learning perfection.
Yeah.
Slowly. I will mention before we jump into this episode, we are recording remotely. So if it sounds a little different than it normally does, we had to be out of our office because of some repairs and things that are going on in our office. And so we weren't able to record there. So we record remotely. And you shouldn't be able to tell any difference, but wanted to give you guys a heads up. So let's jump in to our episode, Vicky. We're going to be talking about how to minister to illegal immigrants or undocumented people and how to do that in the sidewalk context. Before we do that, let's jump into a story because we like to share a story. We like to share maybe a training principle based on that story that can help encourage and equip those who are doing sidewalk ministry. So go ahead and share that story.
Yeah, so this is a great story. We're recording this before you're going to be able to hear this, but we've just completed week one of the Love Life prayer walk starting back up. And on Saturday morning, a mom had stopped for the team out in Fayetteville, which is led by Michael Gertzmeyer, I think is how you say his name. Faithful, faithful guy. Yeah. Who is a just been with us? I think the whole time he's one of the old guard people with Love Life. I guess one of the first years I think he started, and Fayetteville. I think it's a private abortion center, but it's very small. They don't see many many patients every day. Maybe only 10 to 15 tops, but he's there faithfully, and very small team. But they end up giving out so much literature. They have interactions every single time. I read it from his Facebook posts. So they really have a lot of fruit for such a small volume abortion center. But anyway, this was on this day. They weren't supposed to be out there, but someone from the South Florida team was visiting a friend who lived near Michael. Anyway, he ended up getting together with that person from South Florida, JoJo, and they went out to the Planned Parenthood or whatever it is. I don't think it's a Planned Parenthood, but an abortion center there in Fayetteville that they normally would not have been there. And it ended up that someone came over, talked to them, and ended up choosing life despite some really hard life issues. And so she got a mentor. And Michael shared that he was a nurse at, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but WOMAC, Army Medical Center, and that he could help her get prenatal appointments. And so she was, doing that and going to the very place where he works, going to get the prenatal appointments. They connected her right away with Hope Bible Church, which is one of the House of Refuge churches. And Vicky was the mentor, not me, Vicky with an IE, Vicky. And Vicky said that she had prayed and prepared for a year when she got this mom. And she was so excited. And she brought this mom and her kids to church. She was one of the I think, Bible leaders at the church, and ended up walking the two young daughters of this mom to the Lord. They submitted their lives to the Lord through this mentor. They gave a beautiful baby shower. And then the first week of Love Life's prayer walks of 2024, February 9th, the mom delivered her baby boy. And the really beautiful end of that story, well, it's not the end, it's just the beginning, but Michael was there working that day. And so he got to go in and hold this precious little newborn baby that he had been pivotal in that baby being alive. And he said that this was the second time that he's been able to hold a newborn at Womack Medical Center, whose parents he had ministered to outside the abortion center.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a heartwarming story.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
So amazing. And, you know, there's so many tips. We always try to give a little tip, and it's always kind of cool to give a tip from an actual story. Like, this is a story where they really did everything right. And that's part of the tip is be diligent, not only in following our training, which he is to like the nth degree, but diligent in getting the churches involved, appointing a mentor, having the mentor follow through, Michael himself being involved and, you know, and being so diligent in getting the literature into the women's hands coming in. I would say,
and that's the training principle that we really wanted to touch on is that the literature is so vital. Like God uses just the literature itself. We've had babies saved, so many lives that have been saved just from a mom that got the literature going in. We did a whole episode. It's been back in 2022 that we did this episode, but it's called Offering Literature. If you just go on our website, gospelcenteredprolife.com, and go under episodes, and there's a search feature there, and just search literature, and you'll see that episode. It just talks about how to be effective. You know, there's a method to it, but more than anything, everyone going into that clinic should be offered literature.
Right.
And everyone coming out, if they haven't already gotten literature, well, even those coming out that have gotten literature, you think if they have had the abortion, they can be offered the post-abortion literature as well.
Yeah. Honestly, I read his post. I try to read nationwide the posts coming out of the different cities, Love Life cities, and he'll say there were 10 people here today and we gave out 7 pieces of literature. And that is not uncommon. They seem to give out the large proportion of the women going in or out get literature. It's amazing. We need to all go visit Michael and see what he does because he's definitely doing it right.
Yeah.
But I'm just so glad that he has seen the reward and gets to hold the reward, which we don't all get to do.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's our story and our tip. And our main topic is one that I think everyone's seen. There is an influx of undocumented immigrants in our country. And we're seeing that at the abortion center. And I assume this is happening throughout the nation. This article was actually formed after one of our sidewalk outreach team asked, what do we do? Does Love Life have a policy on how we respond? And how do we respond? Because it is, I will tell you, this is very difficult because they're undocumented. There's, of course, the issue, Daniel, maybe you can address, of where we stand just morally, but also they can't get services. Or that's the assumption.
Right.
We're going to show you in this article, I think, some things that you can do to be sure that that baby is taken care of. But anyway, so it's a big problem. It's a growing problem. Everybody is being inundated. So really the first issue is, I guess, the moral issue, because I don't state it directly in the article I wrote with this. But, you know, these are people that have broken the law. They have come to the country without documentation. And so, you know, it's probably good for us to just make a comment about that.
Yeah, and I've actually even got that question, like, should we be helping them if they're here illegally? You know, are there legal ramifications for us? Like, if we help them, are we going to get in trouble with the government or whatever? And maybe legal and moral issues. And, you know, I'll say right off the top of my head, what I'll say is there's a baby's life that weighs in the balance. And though these people may be here illegally, they've broken the law to get here. I mean, in one sense, like, guys, can you blame them for wanting to come to the best country on the face of the planet? Right? If I was in their situation, dealing with some of the things that they deal with, and, you know, the countries down in South America and others, man, I would want to come here too. So I don't blame them in a sense, but that doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. However, I think we absolutely need to help them. I think not only morally can we, I think morally we should help them, because again, a baby's life weighs in the balance.
Yeah, absolutely. So then the question moves into, well, how do we help them? And yeah, this article is broken down into some easy tips. I want you to know this is hard. It is definitely a hard issue.
Yeah.
But the obvious first tip, the language barrier.
Right.
Most of them coming to Charlotte are Hispanic. I don't know if that's true across the country. I assume it probably is.
Yeah.
But so how do you reach them? First of all, well, you got to find a way to be able to talk to them.
Right, right.
And we did do a whole podcast on that, on, yep, on, you know, how to overcome the language barrier. But so I don't think we need to go into that in a lot of depth. But, you know, probably the main easiest thing is technology is your friend here.
Yeah.
And get a good translator app.
Yeah. So another way as far as to overcome the language barrier that we encounter with people who are here illegally, and, you know, maybe they're here illegally and they don't speak our language, is getting people that, you know, maybe people you go to church with, somebody on your team, maybe they serve another day of the week on the sidewalk and they're not out there during your day, but get them on speed dial, have them willing and able to talk to a woman. Maybe you can just hand the phone over when you have a woman that's come over and talk with you, or a man that's come over and talk with you. Just get somebody that can translate, somebody that can speak with them and is proficient in, you know, sharing the gospel, of course, and talking about the issue of life with them. So that's another helpful way to speak.
Yeah,
with them.
That's good. And watch that podcast because that'll help you in other ideas about what to do with the language barrier. One of the things that is really important in dealing with this population is they're very afraid. They're very afraid they're going to be deported. And if at all possible, getting that fear out of the way as soon as you can is really important. So how do we discern legal status? You know, is actually something that is sort of important, and you really can. I mean, there are some tips if they're very nervous about speaking to you, and it's different from just not wanting to talk to you. It's that they're afraid to talk to you. And sometimes you can tell that by their body language, by if they do come talk to you, but they're hesitant to give information. I've had that happen so many times. So I'll tell you, you know, it's common. But the question that I ask, rather than, I never come right out and say, are you undocumented? Because they'll just run away. But I do say, so we'd love to help you. We have so many resources, including in our area. I'll say we have a free medical clinic. Are you able to get pregnancy Medicaid? And if they answer no, that's, well, I know why.
Yeah,
it's because they can't. They're undocumented. Yeah. So that's the way that I get to that. And as soon as they say that, I will usually say, you know, I just want to assure you, you know, we don't know your situation. We don't know we don't know your immigration status. We don't care. We really don't. We are here to help both you and your baby. So I put it out there right away. And that, I think, is important because they often won't talk to you otherwise. They're afraid you're going to report them.
Right.
So the next one major area is to assure them that we want to help them.
Yeah.
And that's no different, really, than with any mom, but maybe more important with this population because many of them have gone through unspeakable trauma coming to this country.
Yeah, yeah. They've been exploited, taken advantage of, and so you need to let them know that's not what we're going to do.
Yes, and that's part of the trust issue. They've been abused and taken advantage of, and extortion and rape and all kinds of awful things that are happening to them to get here. And many of them are afraid. They don't know who to trust. So this is where the resources can be just pivotal.
Yeah.
Just knowing what the resources are, and we're going to go into how you can figure that out, but knowing that you have tangible help.
Yeah. If,
you know, finding out, just like we would with any mom, what are the biggest obstacles? And then figuring out, do we have resources that are able to help them? Because when you offer the help, they're more willing, you know, they begin to trust.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, from basically from this point, although there are some resources that may be unique to these situations, the principles are generally the same after you overcome the language barrier and you try to build some trust with them, let them know that you're not going to turn them in to the authorities, right? After that point, the counseling is pretty much the same with any other family, with any other mom or dad.
Right. Yeah. With the big difference being that some of the resources that we rely on will not take someone without documentation. For example, we did have someone who was homeless recently, who was Hispanic, undocumented. And I did call my typical maternity home resources, and they would not take them.
Yeah.
And that was disheartening, but there is one that will. And that's who I referred her to the one that I found. So, you know, call around, find out those resources. But so, you know, understanding the obstacles, while we want to do that with any mom we deal with, these ones are going to horrify you a little bit more. It has been my experience. There's a lot of what I would consider just wretched immorality.
Yeah.
But it's often been imposed upon them because of their just really hopeless, helpless situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, there's a woman that we're working with who is living with a man she's not married to. She claims to love the Lord. And I feel that is true. But she has nothing. She cannot work. She's living in his home. He has another family and a wife in his native country, South American country, Central American country. And she feels trapped. She doesn't know what to do. So, that is an obstacle, and that the immoral living situation is an obstacle that I would normally address very strongly, but that wouldn't be the first place I'd go in her case. So, find out the obstacles. And then the specific question that I got from a fellow sidewalk counselor was, well, what are the resources? How do you find them? And I'll tell you, it's the same way I always find resources. I Googled.
Right.
So,
yep, good old-fashioned Google. Finding a lot of stuff.
Google can truly be your friend for all the bad things about it. But so this person was from Denver. So just to see, I used key phrases, and I'll tell you what some of them were, because maybe this is like something like most people don't do, and maybe that seems like, well, what do you put in there? Yeah. So I put maternity homes for undocumented pregnant women.
Yeah.
And I got a ton of hits. So then I went to them. I didn't do a whole lot of research. I spent about 10 minutes, and I found, and it's in this article that I wrote, I found a lot of services for people without documentation. I even discovered that next year in Colorado, they will be able to get Medicaid, so that they will be able to get pregnancy Medicaid. Now, do I agree with this? Do I not agree with it? I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to think about that when I'm on the sidewalk. because that's not what my priority is. My right. priority is there's a baby that could die. And while their situation is awful, it still does not justify murder of an innocent baby. Yeah. So some other things I said, resources for undocumented families in Denver, medical aid for undocumented women in Denver, help for undocumented moms with kids in Denver, because this person specifically had kids. And every single one of those searches, I found resources. So, you know, put in as much detail as you want, put in as many keywords as you can think of, because sometimes you're shocked at that there are very specific resources for exactly what you need. So, like I said, that's a common strategy for me. That's how we developed our general resource list here in Charlotte. A lot of it was, some of it are Christian and church things, but some of it is just through Googling and finding what's already available. You know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel sometimes. There's a lot of stuff that is out there.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. And then the final kind of, again, it's a general principle. It's always true. We counsel with the three talking points, and especially the gospel.
Right.
Because this population overwhelmingly believes in God and overwhelmingly claims to know and love Jesus. I have found that they are not always super knowledgeable about the Bible, but I think they do have a very, they love Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't obey him always.
At least a fear of the Lord, right? At least some sort of reverence. Now, obviously, if you're living in sin, you aren't truly fearing the Lord. But there's at least an openness to the gospel and, you know, a fear of the Lord, to the point where when you share the word of God, they're going to listen.
Yeah. I also find in general that they tend to be further along. And that's an interesting kind of observation. I was thinking about that. Why is that? Because that is what I tend to see. And I think it's because they don't have access to medical care. So, and maybe not even enough money to ever take a pregnancy test. So they may think they're pregnant. They're not quite sure, but they don't test because it's expensive. They don't really know how to access, you know, the free resources. So that's one thing. Another thing is they don't have the money for the abortion. Yeah. They got to figure out how they're going to raise the money for that or get the money for that. And then another thing is, because I think of the God issue that is a part of their culture, much more so, I think, than in many other cultures, there's conflict. And so they're holding off because they know they shouldn't do it. They don't really want to do it. So that can really work for you, because if you can get them to an ultrasound, they are almost uniformly shocked at how far along they are, how obviously it's a baby, and how well-developed the baby is in utero. They seem surprised by that. They don't know that. So I might be making some sweeping generalizations, but this is my observations in the women that I've counseled, of which there have been many, especially lately.
Yeah.
So we kind of summarize at the end. Do you want to take over with that, Daniel, about what the kind of the main points, just the takeaways for y'all?
Yeah. Yeah. So takeaway number one is have a good translator app on your phone so you can communicate, or like we've talked about, have somebody at your church or somebody on your team that's willing to get on the phone. You can get them on, you know, have them on speed dial and get them on the phone to talk to a mom or a dad at the abortion center. So that's important, overcoming the language barrier. Number two, let them know that you only want to help them and their baby, and you're not going to try to report them. So you can assure them that, hey, I'm not going to report you. That's not what we're trying to do here. And then research and have on hand the resources. I always encourage you in every context to have a list of resources together for those moms, for those families. In particular, you want to have a list of resources for people that are there undocumented. Some clinics, there's more people that come that are undocumented than others. So if you're at a clinic where there's a high volume of people that are coming that are there illegally, you definitely want to have a list of these resources that can meet their needs. And then connecting with Spanish-speaking churches and getting those churches to become houses of refuge so they're equipped to mentor a mom that chooses life is another powerful way to reach these families.
Super important, too, because the needs are so extensive.
Yeah.
And the more help you can find them on an ongoing basis, because they really do need their lives totally turned around.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, almost finally, these people are open to the gospel. They're open to talk about the Lord. They're open to talk about the Bible. And so, you know, share the scripture, share what the Bible says about their baby, about them, about their situation, and about abortion, and be forthright with it, because these people generally have a fear of the Lord. And then finally, use the three talking points. Like, don't steer clear from those. And of course, you should know by now what those three talking points are. That's what God says, the humanity of the baby, and the resources that are available. So talk about those things. And I believe you guys will have success, and you'll see some of these moms come to the Lord and their babies being saved. We've seen that across the United States. It's pretty amazing seeing what God's doing.
Yeah. Another tip, I didn't write this one down, but I think it's a good one, which I developed out of necessity, was because I so want to share the gospel. Their understanding is often, sometimes almost, I don't want to say witchcraft, but there's like a kind of a new agey. Yes, that's the word. It is. There's a lot of superstition involved with it sometimes. And they focus on that God loves them, but they not so much on the wrath of God, or, you know, that God is a righteous and a just God. So I really want to share the gospel, but that's difficult to do, even with Google Translate. I can, but it's difficult. So what I did was I wrote up a document in English and then copied and pasted that and translated the whole document, and it was sharing the gospel. Kind of shorter than I would typically do, but I have it in Spanish now. And we did actually, I used that this week, sent it to a Hispanic mom that I had been counseling. And she actually submitted her life by text over the phone, over the text after reading that. So yeah, I think that is a potential tool. And someone, one of our other Sidewalk people used it yesterday, 2 days ago, because again, she had a Hispanic woman. The language barrier makes counseling so much harder. She did use a translator, but she wanted to know that she was able to share the gospel in a way that she felt confident was really truly sharing it to a degree that someone could really make a decision one way or the other. And she took this document and sent it to her.
Yeah.
So that's another, you know, another idea that you
pretty,
can have.
Pretty
in
amazing.
Your,
and then, you know, kind of one other thing that you can use as a tool is just gospel tracts. There's plenty of gospel tracts that are out there that are translated in Spanish. So having some gospel tracts on hand. And we have our Sidewalk brochures, our Hope is Here brochures translated into Spanish, and our Hope and Healing, so our post-abortion brochures also are translated in Spanish. So if you're in a Love Life city, you can get with your city director and get some of those ordered if you don't have them already.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's about it, Vicki, unless you've got anything else you need to share.
Yeah, no, I think that is it. As always, you know, go ahead and go to the website and look at the article. It goes into a little bit more detail, but and don't give up. This is a population that of all the people that I talk to at the abortion center, these are the easiest as a group, the easiest group to convince to save their babies.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So as we always do, we want to leave you guys our email addresses. Mine is Daniel@lovelife.org. Vicky's is Vicky with a Y @lovelife.org. We'd love to hear questions that you guys have. I want to cue you guys into something. We did create a secret Facebook group, and you'd have to reach out to us to get an invite to that group. But it's the Gospel Centered Pro-Life Facebook group. I think that's what it's called, right, Vicki?
Mm-hmm. I think we added podcast. Maybe we should take that. It's the Gospel Centered Pro-Life Podcast Group.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. You have to get an invite to that in order to be a part of it. So you could email us and we'll shoot that over to you. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Vicki's just creating content on a regular basis, just answering pretty simple questions with some videos and things that we thought would be very equipping for you guys, because we do get questions from time to time that may be common questions and can't make a whole episode about them, but Vicki can answer them pretty quickly in a little video, put it out on that Facebook group. Also, we have the Gospel Centered Pro-Life website, gospelcenteredprolife.com, where all of our episodes are. You can search the things that we've talked about. You can search the word language and find episodes that we've done about overcoming the language barrier. You can search the word literature and find the podcast we did about handing out literature. So take advantage of that. Also, check out our Sidewalks for Life, sidewalks4life.com website. We have some equipping articles that we put out there on a regular basis beyond just what we make podcast episodes about. And so check those episodes or those articles out. And until next time, God bless.
God bless you all.
Give me an outlet for love. Give me an outlet for gratitude. I know it will cost me my life. Nothing's too precious since I met you.